Good morning. Walkthrough went well on a short week, you know, condensing everything down and putting together our game plan for this ball game. It's very different when you're playing on Thursday as opposed to preparing for a Sunday afternoon game. So a lot to get done today. Very, very important day as we really condense everything that we would do in 3 or 4 days into 1 day. But our guys seem to be engaged, and the walkthrough went well, and now we'll need to have a good afternoon practice as well.
So. Josh Robinson and Charlie Johnson, what exactly happened with those guys?
Josh had something to do with his chest, and Charlie had an elbow. We expect those guys to be able to participate today, so you know we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
A lot of those guys that are kind of dealing with things?
Yeah, nothing really changed this morning, so we'll see who's able to participate in this afternoon's practice, but it's pretty much the same as yesterday.
Would you say Lode Holtz definitely ruled out for Thursday?
Yeah, Phil's not going to make it. Yeah, that concussion.
Try and get out today and kind of work out that hip a little bit. Are you optimistic with him at this point?
If he can do something, that'll, you know, definitely help, you know, so we'll see, you know, how he does. But it's hard to say now because we haven't seen him work, you know, for a while.
How much does that hamper you on the line? You've had a lot of stability on the line, you know, haven't really had injuries the last year and a half, and now you got a guy out. How much does not having Lode Holtz hurt you?
Well, Phil's a vital part of our offensive line. I mean, he's one of our top players. He's a very good right tackle for us. But that's one of the reasons we signed Jamarcus. I mean, that gives him an opportunity, and he'll go in and he'll play well. And, you know, he's familiar with our system now. It's a great opportunity for him.
Kyle's timetable, still looking at a month?
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks is what they're saying, yep.
What aspects of this job, being a head coach, leads to situations we've learned about, like John Fox and Gary Kubiak?
You know, I guess the stress of winning is hard to say, you know, what happened in those cases, you know, unless you speak to their doctors or speak to them directly, but this is part of what we do, but it's hard to say, you know, what led to their health issues. But, you know, we're all doing what we want to do. I enjoy what I do for a living, and enjoy being around our players. Enjoy, you know, being around the people that work in our organization, and that helps to offset some of the other things that you have to deal with. Oh, completely different. To prepare for option football on a short week, it's completely different. I mean, they ran for, 209 yards a week ago, at least not a week ago, just a few days ago. So not much comparison in the style of offenses.
Have they been more conservative with that at all with RG3 cut off of his injury? With the
they had been earlier, but you could see that now being they have really – going back to what they did a season ago and had success, and that's in large part due to the quarterback seeming to be more confident in what he's doing and the coaches calling more of the plays they ran a year ago. So it seems like they're becoming that offense again.
What do you do at the depth for offensive tackle with Jamarcus, you know, now in a starting role? You elevate somebody or bring somebody in as a free agent or what?
Yeah, you know, we have a couple guys in our practice squad that we can look at, Kevin Murphy being one of them, and so I mean he'd be a guy who'll have an opportunity, you know, based on our circumstance.
Just a couple other questions regarding injuries. How does the secondary look? Who might you not have on Thursday?
Well, depending on what happens with Chris Cook today, along with Jamarcus, that'll probably determine, you know, who's available and who's not. We think Xavier's going to be fine, Josh should be fine, but it's more Chris and Jamarcus, you know, where are they at?
Yeah, in terms of the tight end spot, you know, who's going to start there and how do you look at that?
You know, John's the next guy. John Carlson's the next guy up. We have Chase Ford on our roster as well, so we'll have a couple of guys working for us in Kyle's absence. We'll see if Red is able to do anything this afternoon and then go from there.
Kind of where is he in his development?
Yeah, he did some good things in the ball game against Dallas. It was good to, you know, get him out there and get him some action in a live game. I think he had another chance a year ago. So it was, but with the time that he had, he did a good job. And he'll get some opportunities again this week.
Would there be any consideration
to start him given the struggles that Mistral had? I mean, had a number of missed tackles.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, hopefully Mistral will play better, but we're going to get Robert in there for sure.
Can the head coaches identify bullying situations, intimidation from one player to another in a locker room?
I can speak from, you know, our standpoint here, just having a pulse on our team and listening to, you know, what the guys that are in leadership roles have to say to me about our club and what's going on in the locker room, but also communicating, you know, just trying to figure out where our team is, what's going on with our team, and the communication part of it here is what's important. And some things I won't necessarily know about, but I hope that I'll get clued in on when it's necessary. But having, you know, good leadership to keep me involved in things that might contradict what we want to get done and what we want to project as a team.
How do you approach that subject with those leaders? And when you're talking, do you put a specific no hazing rule out there?
Oh, yeah. Going back to when we came to training camp, you know, you go through things that we can and can't do, and that's on our list of things that we're not going to do. And so, you know, when we come to training camp, we talk about the do's and don'ts for our team, and that was one of them, not to do with our rookies.
Win in Washington 2011, any differently than any other win you've had, considering what it cost you guys in the draft?
I don't know if I look at it any different. I can't remember. I think that may have been, 2011. Come on, Mark. Next question, please. Anybody else got a question? Hey, we just want to win, man. We want to win. 2011, 2010, 2013, a win. I'm not looking at what's happening with the draft. I just want us to win.
And it was so late, but I'm just saying, organizationally, I think I know the answer.
That might be a question for Rick Spielman and Mark Wilf and Ziggy Wilf, not Leslie Frazier. Every game we play, Mark, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to try to win. We're going to try to win. That might be a question for Mark Wilf, Zig Wilf, and Rick Spielman. We're going to try to win. Yes.
With a 1-7 start, do you rely on your leadership group even more just to I mean, do you go to them with, you know, thoughts for the week and how to keep them and the whole team focused?
Most definitely. You know, we'll sit down, Tim, and we'll talk through where our team is and what's going on around us and try to make sure that we are engaged in the moment and not getting caught up in what has happened in the previous weeks or what could happen in the weeks to come. But I rely on them heavily to influence our locker room in the right way. And, you know, I have no chance if I don't have their support in what we're trying to get done. So, yes, I count on them in a big way.
Where did you first get the idea to actually state that hazing shouldn't happen? Is that something you saw another coach do? Is it something you implemented when you took over in 2011? What was the impetus for that?
It is something that I implemented when I took over, 2011 now, full time. And just, you know, from as a former player, Jim, and just seeing what guys experienced who were hazed, and then as a coach, witnessing, you know, guys that were being hazed and the effect it had on them. I just didn't want that to be a part of what we were trying to do once I became a head coach. I just didn't see the benefit of it when it comes to wins and losses. And have no regrets about that. Had some veterans who tried to talk me out of it, but I don't think that helps you to win games from my vantage point. Now, everybody has their way of doing things. Those guys that you're messing with are guys that we're counting on to help us to win, and you want the right chemistry in the locker room as well. And I just didn't see the pluses to doing it.
Did that happen with the Bears in 85 or the Colts when you guys won?
Like I said, every team does it their own way. You know, we had some things that I learned from every place I've been, and I just never felt comfortable saying let's do that to the young guys. It's always important, as you mentioned, Chip, and, you know, this week it'll be just as important. We don't want to, you know, turn the ball over for touchdowns. We saw the result of it a week ago. You don't always win those games. The percentages are weighed heavily against you when that happens. So this is one of those weeks. Once again, we'll need to protect the ball and definitely not give up a turnover for a touchdown, but we need to take it away as well and try to set our offense up or score on defense as well.
When you're meeting with the veterans, you get guys that bring concerns to you, like Brian and Kevin raised over the weekend, what's your response to that stuff as a coach? How do you process it when you hear, you know, complaints about the scheme or questions about the scheme, that kind of thing?
I like it, Ben, when they come talk to me. It's important, and I want them to share their thoughts and concerns. That's the only way we can resolve whatever issues there may be. So I encourage it. They know I do. And there's a way to handle those moments. And we talked about some of that yesterday.
Last Friday that basically the quarterbacks you guys have are kind of on the clock. And if he doesn't see the guy he wants, you know, they'll look for a franchise quarterback in the draft. Your thoughts on those comments, and Christian Ponder, your thoughts on the chances he has of becoming that Vikings franchise quarterback?
We've got a game against the Redskins on Thursday night, and you know we're counting on Christian to play well for us. Personally, I'm not looking to 2014 or beyond. I'm looking at what we have to get done to win this game on Thursday, and you know we're hoping that Christian will lead us to victory, and we obviously need some help around him for that to happen, but that's where my mindset is. I'm not into 2014 or quarterback of the future. I'm into what do we have to do to win this game on Thursday night.
You know, Josh Freeman still may be kind of over his shoulder or whatever. How do you look at that situation? Pull might you have when you still have Freeman in the bullpen there?
Well, Christian knows from me that we want him to succeed. He has no reason to look over his shoulder and say, you know, if this happens negative, like an interception on Sunday against Buffalo, you're going to be pulled, or sack fumble in the end zone, you're going to be pulled. He doesn't have to worry about that. You know, he has to worry about playing well. That's all he needs to worry about.
Do you sense any difference in Christian on Sunday as opposed to even just a week before?
He seemed more confident and relaxed. I mean, the way he handled our no huddle was great to see. And the way he bounced back after that turnover in the end zone for a touchdown. I mean, you know, helped get us in a position to take the lead in the ball game. He stayed composed. There were some positive things, the way he got out of trouble in the pocket. And I sensed that during a week of practice. Seems more relaxed and more confident in what he's doing.
Getting guys to not give up. Like, perfect example of that Washington game 2011, playing hard on the road like that when everything is – and there's not much to play for, or as you head down the stretch now, and you're getting guys to make that same commitment as if you were in a playoff chase.
I was talking to our coaches, Mark, on Monday after the Dallas game, because that was a tough loss, and as you know, the veteran guys, they start looking ahead, and you really got to challenge everybody to still remain accountable for what we've been called to do here as players and coaches. And be as demanding as if we were opening the season against Detroit. That can't change. That can't waver, even though the circumstances aren't what we thought they'd be at the halfway point of the season. You still have to be as demanding as ever of yourself and our players, and still hold them accountable for what we're asking them to do. So that never changes. And they know that in the locker room, and we're going to come out, we're going to play hard on Thursday night. We expect to get a win, and we're going to prepare that way. But that's just a part of the mindset that we have to have, and we will have. We're going to work as hard as we can to get a win wherever we are, at home, on the road, and it's creating a culture and a mindset for that to happen.
Last year, why do you think it's been such a struggle to get a consistent deep passing game going?
There are a number of factors. You know, I think we're better throwing the ball down the field now than we were a year ago, and we can obviously be even better. And we still have a lot of football to be played, and we'll continue to work on that. But I think we've gotten better. But part of it is, you know, protection. Part of it is getting our receivers and quarterback comfortable with one another. And you know, part of it is just continuing to run the football as well as we can. We've had some struggles the last couple of weeks for different reasons, but we got back on track against Dallas, and hopefully we can build on that, and there'll be some shots down the field for us in the future.
You go back into Thursday with Matt as the backup
We'll talk about it after this practice. We'll go through what we got to go through, and you know, we'll sit down with those guys and give them an idea where we are after this practice.
In a way, as you look at that decision between Matt and Josh,
just where they are and where we are with our game plan and what the expectations are for that guy who has to step in and play, and you know, make a decision based on that.